Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 98 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host, as usual. Today, I'm playing hurt a little bit, got a little touch of the flu. Been going around here, so if I have to pause and cough or take some water, you'll understand. But wasn't too impacted today because everything's closed down here in the District of Columbia area, the DMV, as we sometimes are referred to. We had the threat of snow and ice overnight, and therefore everybody panicked and all the schools closed and everything else shut down. And of course, all then we got was rain all day long. So that's kind of what we do here in the DMV. We panic and close the schools and have a run on the grocery stores on the threat of snow. And then when we do actually have a big storm, as we often do in February, everybody gets caught because they don't believe it's going to snow. But for me, it didn't make a whole lot of difference. You know, with the home or virtual office, there's no real impact if, you know, things in the area are closed for bad weather. And you know, that's a good and a bad thing, because who doesn't like a good snow day? Who doesn't like the excuse to, you know, I'm not going to do anything today because everything's shut down? But you really don't have that luxury of an excuse if you're working from your home or in a virtual office. And that's kind of actually an opportune moment for me, because I've wanted to do an episode for a while to talk about the nuances of having your law firm situated in your home or a virtual office. We've had a lot of guests on in the past who have created their practice in a virtual environment, some of whom work, you know, at home, and others work at various locations. And I was looking around to see who I might have come on the show to talk about the pros and cons of a home office. And, you know, I thought, hey, why not me? Because, you know, that's what I do. And with everything shut down today, it's a good time to kind of knock that out of the queue, so to speak. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how to set up a home office, what you need, some choices you may have, some of the pros and cons of doing so. And I'm just going to use my own experience as an example, and I hope that's illuminating or illustrative to you, our listeners. So a little bit about my history. When I went out as a solo practitioner, and if you've listened to the show for some period of time, you know that was quite a few years ago. I left a small boutique personal injury law firm in the District of Columbia and decided to open my own practice out in the suburbs. And at that time, I didn't really give it a whole lot of thought. I knew I wanted to start my practice in an actual office setting. I didn't even consider working from home or anything of that nature. So I started my practice in a, you know, regular brick and mortar office environment, and that was by choice. But I didn't actually give it a whole lot of thought. It's just I knew that's what I wanted to do, or that's how I envisioned what a solo law practice would look like. So I did look around the area that I wanted to be located in to see what was available in terms of office space. Again, knowing what I know now, it wasn't really an efficient search. I just literally kind of walked around town and looked around places that might be good to rent space in. Had I known then what I know now, I would have looked at some of the local bar association newsletters for announcements of law office space that's available, which would have been a little more targeted to what I was looking for. But nevertheless, I lucked out, and I found the perfect setting, and I knew it right away when I walked in. It was a suite of offices, so there were three other attorneys in that suite, and they had, sadly, an attorney who had just passed away. And so they were looking to sublet his office now that it had been cleared out. So it was a nice corner office on the third floor of a building pretty close to the courthouse, which is what I wanted. And, you know, kind of a dumb thing. I kind of envisioned my practice being in an office setting in which clients would have to take an elevator to my office. And so this, being on the third floor, there's an elevator, and that kind of fit the bill. In our locale, there's quite a few law offices that are in renovated townhouses or older homes in and around the center of town where the courthouse is located. And I just felt, for me, that's not what I was looking for. I wanted more of a traditional office setting. And for me, that was denoted by the idea that they would have to take a elevator up to the office. So it was priced right for me, about what I wanted to spend, was perfectly located. And the folks who were in the office suite seemed to be just perfectly fine. One did estate planning, one did criminal defense, and another did criminal defense and personal injury. At that time, I was only doing personal injury, so there was a little overlap there. But I also wanted to get into family law at that time. And so it seemed like a perfect fit. So I was very happy to sign a lease and embark on my solo journey in my new office space. So what are the things that I needed? It was an empty office. It was not furnished. So I had to go out and get furniture and decorate the office. Again, probably not the smartest thing. I bought new furniture, looked around. I didn't spend a whole heck of a lot. But again, now, and of course, now there are more resources. You can go on to several websites to buy overstocked furniture or cheap furniture, office furniture. But anyway, I outfitted the office and decorated it in a way that was comfortable to me. So with that done, I needed a new separate telephone system. Everybody had their own phone system. So that wasn't too hard to call the local telephone company, and they connect you to the telephone closet in the building. And you go to your Home Depot and you buy whatever, you know, telephone unit you want to have. And voila, you have a phone system. So that worked out great. We had shared internet in the office. There was both wired internet and Wi-Fi. So that was fine. And I brought my own computer system and my own multifunction printer to the office, those that components that I had at home. So now I had all the hardware that I needed, had a phone system, had the internet, had a computer, had a printer that doubled as a scanner, and also a fax machine. But I used the office fax machine then. We had a shared fax in for the office suite. Later, I added a Dymo label printer. So I used that to print labels for mailings and also to print stamps using the Indicia.com software offering. But you also can use stamps.com, and I think there's a couple of others. But they work great with the Dymo printer. So I added that a little bit later. So I had pretty much at that point everything I needed to run my law firm from. That is at least from a hardware standpoint. I guess the only other thing that I had at that point was I had an external hard drive that I backed up the computer to on a daily basis, and would take that hard drive home with me so that I had a remote backup at the time. So, and in terms of software, I pretty much knew going in being the Apple fanboy that I am, that I was going to use, you know, all Apple software to meet the needs of running the office. And I knew that would work because I knew it was compatible with Microsoft Word and the other Microsoft products. So that wasn't a problem. The only issue I had was I knew I needed a case management system. And as you know, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, I chose Daylight, made by Market Circle. And fortunately, they are a sponsor of the podcast. But as you know, I was a user of Daylight long before the podcast ever came into being. And I chose it because at the time, they were one of the very few that were available for the Mac, for the Apple platform. So I plunged in and became a Daylight user. In those days, Daylight, you set the Daylight up on your computer as a server. So for your desktop computer, that was your server where all the data was stored. And then if you wanted to use a laptop, you actually synced it across the internet and then went out with your laptop, did what you needed to do remotely, and then brought your laptop back and resynced it and uploaded those changes to the server. And so for me, that worked. I didn't have a lot of reason to work remotely in those days. I worked mostly out of the office. But when I did, I had that capability. And so that's how the office was set up, and it worked for a long time. And I refined, you know, some of my workflows and automated processes. But by and large, that's how I set up my initial office in a brick and mortar, you know, kind of situation. But then 5 or 6 years ago, I decided to make a change. And principally, it was a change to my practice area. I decided, for a number of different reasons, and we can talk about those at a later date, I decided that I wanted to move into doing estate planning, trusted estate planning, and move away from personal injury and family law litigation. And when I made that decision, it became a realization that times had changed and the capabilities available to me were different than they were when I chose to open my office, and that now working from home was a real possibility and actually even more desirable as a approach to my solo practice. Again, at this point, and to this date, I'm a true solo without, you know, any staff. So it was easy for me to make that decision to, once my lease was up at my original office, to decide to move to a home office. Now, there were a couple of things that I knew, again, that I didn't want. There were some limiting factors here in terms of my decision to work from home. I knew that even working from home, that I wasn't really in the market to meet clients at my home for a number of different reasons that I think are kind of obvious. So that was one thing. Didn't want to have to meet clients at home. And I didn't want to have to use a post office box. I'm sure it's perfectly capable or perfectly doable for many people, but for me, it just kind of, it didn't sit right with the idea of a thriving law firm to, you know, to have a post office box. So with those two things in mind, I decided, well, I can work from home, but I'm going to need some place where I can get my mail and where I can meet clients. So, you know, I thought about working with some solo practitioners who themselves weren't in office space, and just arranging or coming to an agreement with them to use their conference room or their mailing address, but that didn't feel quite right to me either. And so fortunately, a multinational company called Regis opened a facility in our area, just a couple blocks down from where my office was, and frankly, even closer to the courthouse than I was previously. So Regis is a multinational company that has office space available around the world, and you arrange for different types of memberships in Regis. And what I'll tell you the details of my membership. So I have a platinum membership, and that allows me to have 5 office days per month in the Regis facility. And it's a really nice facility with a nice conference room and kitchen area, open area. It's more like a hotel lobby. And then these day offices that you can use on an as-needed basis. And so for a very minimal amount, as I said, I get 5 office days a month. And so what I normally do is batch up my client meetings, or try to arrange to have client meetings on specific days so that I don't go over that 5-day allocation. So if you need more than 5 days, there's a surcharge for that. So that worked out perfectly for me. And then there's another option where you can receive your mail at that facility. So that's what I do. I have a regular mailing address at the Regis facility, and cut my costs by a significant amount from what I was paying for a brick and mortar office. So that was the perfect solution. So now I could work at home and I could meet clients in town. And one of the beauties of the Regis membership is that, as I said, they have facilities all around the world. And they have, in our county alone, they have 3 different facilities, and one up in the next county just north of us. So if I want to meet clients up county, as we say, I go to one of their facilities. I make arrangements to use an office in one of those facilities. And then if I want to go down county, I can go all the way down to Bethesda, if you're familiar with the locations. And even when I went out to visit my daughter in L.A. and I needed an office for half a day for something important, they had Regis offices in Los Angeles. And so I was able to book time and get a private office there. So it has been, the perfect solution for me. Would it be for you? I don't know. It depends on what your office setup and your practice is like. But for me, it was perfect. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. Spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. So what about the technology that I needed now to work from home? Was it any different than what I had in the office? Well, I decided to upgrade the computers, and that's really just because, again, I'm a fanboy and I upgrade the computers all the times, but it was about the same time when I moved the office into the house, that I got my new MacBook Air. And I actually just run the whole practice from my laptop. I don't have a desktop. Well, I do have a desktop, but I don't use it for work. I run the whole practice from my MacBook Air. Light, portable, powerful, does everything I need. So I'm very happy with that. What I did do now, by the time I moved, the cloud was becoming more of a viable resource. And actually, of course, today, you know, everybody's in the cloud. Everything's in the cloud. But 5 years ago, it was just about the time when things were starting to take off in terms of cloud implementation. So I got a account on Dropbox and then bumped up the storage on Dropbox so that I could put all of my data in the cloud. And I was okay with the security implications of doing so. I also, by virtue of the fact that I use Apple products, have an iCloud account, and I doubled the storage in that account as well so that I could mirror all the data that I have in Dropbox on iCloud. So I actually have the data in two different locations. So if for some reason Dropbox was unavailable, it went under, or some tragedy hit that company, who knows, I would still have all my data in iCloud and vice versa. I did take the opportunity because at this point I really was now committed to going paperless. You know, when you have an office, a regular office, you can stack up paper everywhere. But now that I had the office at home, it was more incentive to go to a paperless environment. So I bought the Fujitsu ScanSnap iX500 scanner, the Cadillac of desktop scanners. You can configure it as a wired scanner, in other words, attached to your computer via a cable, a USB cable, or you can do it wireless. So it has a couple of different options, and it's just a phenomenal scanner that you can just read all about it on the reviews. Fast, quiet, double-sided, automatic optical character recognition, and the whole nine yards. So that was perfect. At the same time, Daylight, my case management system, at that point, they then began offering a cloud-based system so that all of our data moved off of the computer or the laptop server, if you will, and moved up into the cloud. And therefore, I can connect to my case management system using my laptop or my iPad or even my iPhone. So now I had access to my case management and law firm data, you know, through Dropbox and Daylight's cloud implementation. I had access to that from any platform, anywhere that I had internet capabilities. So there was no real barrier then at that point. I could do everything from, you know, my office or from the backyard on the deck or at Starbucks that I could do in my previous physical location. So I was all set up to run my practice from home. So hardware systems, software systems, backup systems, all of that was in place. What else did I need to run my office from home? Well, how about the phone? So I had, you know, my office line. I really wanted to keep it if I could. And now I also had to figure out what I was going to do in terms of answering the phone or receptionist. So, as you may know, I became a client of Call Ruby or Ruby Receptionist, a virtual receptionist. They're located out in the Northwest. And I am delighted with that arrangement. I love Ruby and have sung their praises on this podcast many times. It's a perfect solution for me. So what I have done is I kept my office phone number. So everything on my website and all of that, my business cards, all that remain the same. And we just have the phone number forwarded to Ruby. So when people call that area code 301 number to reach my office, it rings to Ruby. And then depending on what we've set up for that period of time, they take the call. And if they're going to put it through to me, then they ring me back on my cell phone. So that's perfect. And one of the things I like about Ruby is they also have a application on your phone, so you can set your status on your phone as being away or special instructions. And they've just been perfect for me. So that solved the whole phone situation. I don't have to do a lot of voicemail callbacks. They send me an email or a text message when they're taking a message on my behalf, and it just works perfectly for me. I also took the opportunity to upgrade my multifunction printer. I use a Brother brand multifunction printer, which the upgrade that I got allowed it to be Wi-Fi enabled so that I could use it anywhere from in the house. I only use the multifunction printer for the copy functions and for printing functions. I do not use it for a scanner because I've got the high-end ScanSnap scanner. And I don't use it for a fax because I decided when I was going to open my office at home that I was going to abandon the facsimile machine. It's been a pet peeve of mine for a long time. And, you know, it's a really old technology that we can do without. I just think law firms in particular and doctor's offices just hold on to that old technology and still do business via fax. But I decided that I was going to break the mold. Now, you can get a fax service where you get a special fax number and the fax comes in and then that fax is sent to you via email. But I just decided to cut the cord with fax machine and just tell anybody who needed to fax me, you can email me. And if not, well, then just send it via the regular mail. My backup system, you know, stayed mostly the same. As I mentioned before, I continue to have Dropbox and iCloud sync between the two of them so that I had two cloud-based backup systems, but also used a externally hard drive configured as an Apple Time Machine. Those of you who know Apple products knows that that allows you to take little snapshots of your hard drive on an hourly, daily, and weekly basis. It's not a backup system per se. It's a retrieval system, really. So if you needed to retrieve a file or a previous version of a file from yesterday or day before or last week, or 3 hours ago, you can via the Apple Time Machine software. And then one last backup system. I'm overly prescribed in backup systems, but I don't think you can have too many backups. As I said, I have an external hard drive that's configured as a bootable disk, meaning that I can plug that into another computer and boot from that disk, and that computer then would appear to be the same as my desktop, or laptop rather. So every day I back that up. I do a carbon copy backup to the bootable drive, and you know I store that. I store that still in the house. I probably should try figure out another way to move it somewhere outside of the house in case the house burns down. But it's really more of a insurance against the hardware, my laptop going down and being a single point of failure. So I can boot from last night's snapshot or version of what was on the laptop just by plugging into another available Apple computer. So that's all the backup systems we have. So at this point, I don't know that there's anything else I could do to make the systems or the workflow any more efficient working from home in my home office. I've really got everything I need. And I don't think it was took that much. So I think it's, you know, readily doable for folks if you want to, you know, consider doing so. Now, there are a couple of other considerations about working from home that have nothing to do with hardware, software, or backups, or where you meet your clients, or anything of that nature. One of them is that working from home means that really your office is always open. And that has some, you know, pluses and minuses. It provides me a lot of flexibility in terms of hours. So if I don't get started, you know, too early in the morning for one reason or another, I'm doing something or going somewhere, I can always make it up on the back end. I can work as late as I want because, you know, I'm not dealing with traffic and there's no barrier to me working, frankly, into the middle of the night. As I said, that's, you know, good and bad because it is a slippery slope. When your office, when the ability to do work is always available, if you're so inclined, you could be always working. And in terms of, you know, work-life balance, that's probably not a good thing. So I would suggest, I don't do as good a job of this as I could or should, but if you're going to consider opening a home office, that you really kind of set aside office hours, whatever they may be for you, whether you want to keep regular 9 to 5 hours or you want to work, 6 in the morning to whatever, or work, start a little later, it's probably a good idea to set up regular office hours. Now, another consideration is that I'm sharing my office space. I mean, I will readily admit that one of the good things about having a remote office or office in town, that there was some value to being able to leave the house, frankly, and, you know, go lock myself in my office, you know, downtown. There was some, I don't know if privacy is the right word, but there were just some value to having some place to go and be separate to do work. I'm lucky that in my home, I have a separate true office configured as an office, but not everybody would be in that situation. So if you're setting up your home office in the corner of a spare bedroom or, you know, in the laundry room or something of that nature, you just have to realize that you're sharing your space with others in the house. And, you know, in my house, it can get crazy here with the comings and goings of folks. Sometimes I say it's like Grand Central Station. So you just have to be aware that you're sharing your space and you have to do what's necessary to, you know, to deal with that. And then lastly, you know, there is an aspect of isolation that can arise from working at home. You know, in my situation, you know, I work here. My gym is downstairs. I record the podcast here. You know, my guitar teacher comes here. You know, if I'm not careful, there's, you know, the food fairies bring food here. I don't know how that happens, but, you know, if I'm not careful, I can go a long stretch without ever leaving the house. And I need to remind myself to sometimes get out of the house because that's not a good thing. So you give that up when you move into a home office, that, you know, regular necessity of leaving the house and, you know, changing the location and changing your view. So, you know, one of the things I try and do is I try and schedule lunches with other attorneys or whomever, and some bar association activities or networking events to try and just remind myself, just don't be sitting in the office working all the time. Get outside get some fresh air and go somewhere, change the scenery. So that's the story behind my home office, how it came to be and how I have it set up. And it really is, for me at this point in my career and for this type of practice area that I focus in on, it's really the perfect solution. It gives me the utmost in flexibility and comfort, and I'm very happy with that decision. So, you know, if that's something you're considering, if you're considering moving home, or that's the only opportunity you have, if you're starting your solo practice, that is completely doable these days. In fact, it's a little easier now than it was 5 years ago, a whole lot easier now than it was 5 years ago. With those considerations that I note at the end, I think it's a perfectly doable approach to practicing law as a solo practitioner. So that's it for today. That's what I wanted to share with you. Just one other note, I want to thank those of you who joined us on our initial Facebook Live book review this past Thursday. It was our first one, my first attempt at doing a Facebook Live event. And frankly, it showed. It's not anything that people are going to look at and say, wow, that was great. But hopefully it will get better. I'll get better at it. It was fun to do. The book, Tribe of Mentors, I discussed, gave you my views of it, was interested in hearing what yours were. And so now we need a new book. So I'd love for you to go to our Facebook page or go to our website. You can, you know, contact us there. If you've got a good book that you think other attorneys, other solo practitioners would benefit from reading, or something that you're thinking of reading or have read, just a good suggestion. I'm open to suggestions. Love to hear from you what you think we should do for our next Law Entrepreneur Facebook Live event. So hop on over to the Facebook page and drop us a note. And as always, we'd love for you to, if you haven't already done so, go over to iTunes and leave a rating and review of the Law Entrepreneur. Those are always helpful. And until next time, I want to thank you for being here today and being part of the Law Entrepreneur. Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency. And therefore, it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through the Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.